10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needs something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Counting down, about to put the anchor down. Hotty toddy, who's it gonna be? Cowbells and swamp, the ag is wrong. There's nothing like the SEC.
You can hear this every day starting at 2 o'clock. Our next guest every Thursday at this time, Paul Finebaum, ESPN, ESPN, or SEC Network. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, brought to you by Blue Note Juke Joint Whiskey, smoother than smooth. And 4 hours every day, Monday through Friday, Paul Finebaum Show, 2 until 6 o'clock. And Paul, on our show, his appearance every week is brought to you by Gary Force Acura and MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage expert. This week has been a lot of fun because if you've been listening to Paul's show, there's been a lot of experts calling in with a lot of inside information on the next Auburn coach, and it's fun to hear the breaking news hour by hour, Paul, that your listeners provide of breaking news of the new and the next Auburn head coach according to their source or sources, including one yesterday I heard in Houston Nutt, who I think would be a fine choice, but it did take me back a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, right now Houston Nutt is withdrawn from the competition, but it's coming down to Urban Meyer, Pete Carroll, and Bob Stoops. That's what the callers seem to think.
All right, so what about what's realistic now that we get our laughter out of the way? And by the way, I did see your reaction to that call yesterday. You even have a hard time holding it in. I don't know how you do it. I would have been probably in the floor laughing at Houston Nutt and his brother, and we'll just leave it at that. Yeah. But the Kevin Steele stuff, I mean, really? Like, you're going to run off and, or I should say, pay Gus Malzahn to go away $21.5 million? To hire within with Kevin Steele? Really? That can't be, right?
Let me be a financial planner. You start with you don't have to pay off Kevin Steele since he has the job. You don't have to pay moving expenses. Beyond that, I understand where you're coming from. But I say this after spending literally the majority of my life in Alabama and covering Auburn all the time. It's Auburn. That's how they do things down there. There's a small band of brothers who run the athletic department, and it's none of them are go by the name of Alan Green, who is the de facto AD. And they like Kevin Steele. He's one of them. He knows how to relate to them. And I'm sure some will suspect if he ends up being introduced in a couple of days that maybe he did or did not help lead to Gus Malzahn's overthrow. I mean, I know nobody in Tennessee has ever heard that phrase before, but he at least, as of this hour, and I'm not just giving you qualifiers because things change, but as of this hour, he's the favorite to get the job.
Mm. Wow.
Wow. I heard yesterday you also, and when I saw your lineup and knew you were going to have the AAC commissioner on, Oresco, I wanted to hear what he said. I mean, you know, you expect him to do what he did and lobby for a team in his conference in the Bearcats from Cincinnati, but I don't know him like you do. It seemed like even you were surprised at the level of how far he was willing to take that interview yesterday. Is that fair, or am I off there a little bit?
Yeah, and I've known Mike Oresco is not just your normal paint-by-numbers commissioner. He's a lawyer. From Tufts. I mean, this guy has a big time degree. He worked many years ago at ESPN. Most of his career he spent as the head of collegiate sports at CBS. He was in charge of the SEC package. So this is a guy that that understands the industry. He was on our program 2 weeks ago, guys, and I must tell you, I literally fell asleep because he was talking about how great UCF is and Tulsa. And I did not want him on last night. My producer said, okay, I'll. And so I just went right to the, I said, it's obvious all your campaigning for Cincinnati went on deaf ears, and he picked up the memo, and he went right in and essentially said, you know, why don't we just go back to the BCS because it would be better than where we are. And that's a guy that sits at the table. This isn't just a, you know, somebody like us throwing stones from across the street. I mean, this is a major member of the CFP. I mean, he took them apart, said, break it up. It's nonsensical. And some of what he says is true. Now, on the other hand, I must, you know, look at both sides. For everyone says this is a disaster. I mean, if Notre Dame loses to Clemson and Ohio State wins and Alabama wins, then, you know, we have four that deserve to be in. So, you know, all the teeth gnashing over Cincinnati and Iowa State and everyone else doesn't matter. But Tuesday night left a really sour taste in the mouths of college football fans all over the country after watching that charade on television.
I want to know how you really feel about, you know, he's making his case for Cincinnati. And, you know, to their credit, that conference has had their moments with their teams, right? UCF certainly comes to mind. Memphis has had some special seasons here recently. Houston, and, you know, they get brought up in the discussion for a while, and then obviously it never comes to them being in the Final Four and in the college football playoffs. But I get it. It's not like they're just having this special season for the first time with one of their members. I hear all the time, Paul, and this is just my two cents, and I want to get your two cents. You know, why can't, you know, Boise State, we saw what they did to Oklahoma. Remember what Auburn, remember when they lost to UCF? And we can point to Utah beat Alabama. Well, yeah, but you can also flip it around on the other side and say, can you without a doubt 100% tell me that Auburn was engaged in a meaningless bowl game and Alabama was engaged in a meaningless bowl game, that they were there like it was the playoffs? No, but for those other teams, it was like their playoffs. So I kind of dismiss the notion of we've seen these upsets happen, because we've never seen it when it really counts, whenever you lose and you go home or you win and you advance. How do you feel about that?
You're 100% correct, and you know, I covered that Alabama-Utah game, and Alabama didn't care. I hate to say it, but you know, they were number one all season. They lose to Florida in the championship game, and they're done. They went down to New Orleans in name only. So that happens a lot. But, you know, I think college football is at a crossroads, though. And it's at a point where even if we get the predictable four in, it's still not enough. And I think if and when they expand the playoff, you could argue, okay, well, same four in the Final Four, but maybe not. At least you have a game the first weekend that can garner and generate some excitement. And right now these games aren't. And I think, you know it's a television issue, and it's also a college football issue. But to me, the biggest problem college football has in the postseason is when we get – the first round's okay, but, you know, interestingly, the first round is – people don't pay that much attention to, for this reason. It's on January 1st. The Christmas break just sends everyone, you know, COVID or no COVID, into a different world. We're watching bowl games every night just for entertainment. The games are somewhat meaningless. But the CFP championship game is on the Monday night, usually the second Monday night in January. Guess what precedes it? Saturday and Sunday, wild card weekend for the NFL. And there's just no room. I mean, I have been to countless sites for the national championship game, even working for ESPN, and you can barely get on television because, you know, after about 8 or 9 in the morning, they're done with you because of the games. I mean, you spend the entire year talking about the NFL, and you get to the wild card weekend, and, yeah, let's go to Paul Feinbaum talking about Clemson and Alabama. I mean, the audience just, like, goes, are you kidding me? So – but there's no getting around that. At least if you added a weekend, it would start sooner, and you know, I think you could get a chance to at least own the day where now you can't.
Yeah, I'm not here to obviously make a case for Cincinnati, because I think it's pretty clear. I just stated I don't – the Cincinnati's and the BYU's and, well, before their loss in Coastal Carolina, I don't believe so. But I do believe if there was ever a year – like the NFL is going to do, like baseball did, if there was ever a year to expand and say 6 or 8 teams and to quiet this down, let one of those teams get in there and see what happens when it counts, This was the year. I think they absolutely missed the boat.
But do you know why they didn't do it? And it's a really simple explanation, and it will drive you crazy. But and you've heard this answer before. It's about January 1st at 4:30 Eastern at the Rose Bowl. That is sacrosanct. The people that run college football, and I'll include the people that I work for, because that is a special moment on New Year's Day, and they will not change it. And because of that, the SEC went out and cut a deal a couple of years ago with the Big 12. And now they, you know, the Sugar Bowl follows that. Now I realize this year it can be a little bit different with the playoffs. I'm talking about when the games are when you have some change, but you know you have to be able to budge. And college football will not do it. It is a cartel, and you know there's a lot of money. There's a lot more money to be made if you open it up. And you know, this contract still has a couple of years to go. Why it was essential to sign a 12-year deal, I'll never know. But you guys also remember how difficult it was to get to this point. Not to give you a case in history, but in 2011, going into the game that Monday night between Alabama and LSU, Bill Hancock sat on our program from New Orleans and said, "We have no interest whatsoever in expanding the playoff." The game was so bad. It was a rematch. Nobody really wanted to see it. The next day, the BCS Executive Committee met in New Orleans, blew the thing up, and therefore the college football playoff was born.
It is hilarious. Somebody should put together a series of quotes from Bill Hancock over the last 20, 25 years of saying something that turns out to be completely the opposite of what happens several years later, and then he says the same exact, you know, it's hilarious. He's a great guy, but the sound bites, it just changes with the
week. He just got through talking, saying that, you know, we're stuck on the Rose Bowl on January 1st. Well, don't be so sure of that. I mean,
yeah.
With the issues going on in California, but yeah, he is a spokesperson. That's all he is. I mean, he's no different than the spokesperson for the governor of Tennessee or the president or the president elect. I mean, they come out there and they say what they're supposed to say. They don't have an original thought.
We're talking to Paul Feinbaum. It is presented by MTGRT.com and Gary Force Acura. Paul, I've heard some people speak on the record about this. I've had some conversations with people behind the scenes who go through the daily grind of preparing these football teams, all the people, every day, you know, just trying to get on the practice field, who's available, who's not available. And it really gets tougher as you go on. They've been there since the summer, right? So it's not surprising I hear some teams saying, you know what, We're good. We're not going to play a bowl game. We're just going to shut it down. At the end of the day, how many bowl games do you think we're really going to have, and how many just won't have the spaces to fill?
Yeah, I think that we've already lost six or, I mean, I've lost track of how many we've lost because the bowl season was supposed to start this weekend. But you know, I think you're going. I mean, I don't know who would opt out now that hasn't already thought about it. I mean, you've seen the rash of ACC teams. It seems to me that in the SEC, most will go. I think some of it depends on, you know, where are you going. But, you know, to me, if you're 2-7, are you going to a bowl game? Is Tennessee going to a bowl game this year? I don't know.
We've heard people say that, yes, that if they, even if they lose, that they would be invited just because they're looking to fill spots.
Yeah, and I'm saying, if you're sitting there in Knoxville and you've had a miserable season, it really can't get much worse. So you go to a bowl game and you hope you win. I mean, the Iowa win for Jeremy Pruitt remains, I think, his shining moment, doesn't it? So I would keep hanging on to it it's laughable to go to a bowl game with a 3-7 record, but. In this year, I mean, we're playing this extra weekend of games that don't have a lot of meaning. So why not?
Give us your thoughts on Clark Lea as the new coach at Vanderbilt.
I had the most interesting conversation yesterday with Pete Sampson, who covers Notre Dame for The Athletic. And he said they were genuinely upset about him leaving for this reason, that many people in South Bend have considered him to be a possible replacement for Brian Kelly. That's all I needed to know. I mean, I've heard good things about him from people, from friends in the industry. I don't know him, But that's an amazing compliment, and I think at least for now Vanderbilt has done very well. I think instead of just when we had this conversation weeks ago, just go out and grab the hot young coach. I think that's what they did. They checked a lot of boxes, which I'm not always crazy about, but in this case, I think it's good. I mean, if you can find someone that's connected. The thing I most like about him is that he understands not only the school, but the environment and the culture. This is not Derek Mason being brought from another world, saying all the right things, but never really having a clue and never really having the political acumen to make things happen. And that's why I think Clark Lee has at least a chance to enact change.
Let's finish with this. Let's circle back to where we started. What do you think is next for Gus Malzahn? How eager do you think he is to jump back in there, or do you think he'll take a year?
Well, the $10 million check is heading his way in a couple of days.
Must be nice.
And another 10 and a half is coming next year. I would not work. I don't know about you guys. where I am, it's about 34 degrees and sleeting. I would get on a plane, even if I had to charter it, and go toward the equator and not even take a cell phone and say, I'll see you guys in a couple of months. Jimmy Sexton, let's talk in spring or summer. He could get a head coaching job today. I mean, he's good enough, but I think he would be smarter to wait.
So I took it that from what you just said, if you were getting that buyout, you would not be appearing on the show today, right? This Thursday week.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't have money. I don't have any money, and I'm thinking about doing what I just laid out.
By the way, we had Pete Sampson on this week as well, and the only thing I didn't – he was great. The only thing I didn't like about it is I had to catch myself to make sure I didn't call him Pete Sampras the whole interview. So,
yeah, I agree. I can't, first time I had him on, I said, man, you were my favorite tennis player as a kid.
We always enjoy these visits. Thanks so much for doing this. Have a great show today, and we'll talk to you next week.
A pleasure, guys. Thanks.
All right, that is Paul Feinbaum, brought to you every week at this time on Thursdays by Gary Force Acura and MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage expert. We'll talk about that on the other side. I want you to weigh in, Willie, on what I threw out there, because I've been thinking about this. And do you believe a team like Cincinnati really deserves a shot? Do you really believe a team like Coastal Carolina? But if we're in the case of this, let's go with Cincinnati. They're the highest rated. Do you really believe they should be in the college football playoffs? We'll discuss on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino.